dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome once again to show 148 of SVC Sports Talk, brought to you as always by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am indeed Bruce Knox of DBK Media Services, sitting here with Mr. Shane Combs from SVCSportsZone.com, and we are talking a little SVC basketball, both boys and girls. Mr. Combs, the sage of SVC, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Bruce. I thought this week I was a little bit worried with the weather coming in that maybe not have as much to talk about. But as always, the fans have seemed to come through. I look through the inbox and then look through the agenda, and even without some of the boys' games, we have really good girls' conversation with the Big Westfall Southeastern game. Mm-hmm. And as always, I think people just enjoy talking sports. I think even without games, there's topics out there. You know, sure, just like an NFL, college basketball, whatever it might be, I think people are the same way with high school sports. I think that there are certain things with scheduling questions that come up. Had an interesting email we'll look at from a mom here in the SVC. The fast break. I had the return email. I was a little worried early in the week that maybe I screwed it up because it ended up coming in a little later this week. But we do have our other eight coaches. And then, I really got to thank the fans. You were telling me before we go on air here, last week ended up being one of our record shows. Quite possibly the most listened to out of the previous 147 shows. So obviously we talked to Cole Cottrell last week and had a lot of Uniota conversation. Had a really good Uniota follow-up question this week. And that even gave you a little help with some bump music. So you've got a lot to get to this week. So, I'm excited. Even without some of the boys' action, we certainly are not hurting for conversation pieces over the next hour.
Well, two things I want to pick up on what you said there. First, you were concerned about not having enough to talk about. I don't think that that's a problem when sports and Shane Combs are involved. I think it was true.
Well, I can talk about whatever. It's getting people to listen.
Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it? I once heard that Shane was vaccinated with a phonograph needle, I think. That was what was said. People probably out there going, what's a phonograph needle? Secondly, you talked a little bit, you touched on the fact that the weather has been a little different this past week, particularly on Friday. And so we had a disruption. And I wanted to kind of throw back at you, how does that affect the coaches, the players, the administrators, and the fans? Because it really throws a wrench in the works, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's hard on everybody involved, but probably different reasons. If you're a player, you just want to play. Not knowing sometimes can be annoying. And then are you going to practice? And quite honestly, there's probably some different feelings there. Some kids like basketball more than others, or just, like practice more than others. So the players are probably affected in terms of their routine. Fans, parents, planning, work, travel, it's tough on everybody. Obviously they worry about kids being out on the roads, I'm sure. But then as you get to the administrators and to the coaches, I guess it's a whole different ball of wax. It's a situation. It's really stressful on coaches because you're not only going through all of your contact information to make sure everybody knows exactly what's going on, but you also you stress about the games, the practice. You worry, man, the safety issue. Do I bring kids out and practice? But, man, if I don't, we're going to make this game up on Tuesday. And what if we're not in the gym Friday, Saturday, Sunday? And then we only have one game or practice on Monday. So all of those thoughts are just all over the place in your mind as a coach while you're doing all this organizational stuff. And then that's not to even mention the administrators. They have the stress of, do we play, do we not? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, I'm sure – that they'll look at Rhodes and think, well, we could probably play, but man, one accident's one too many. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where when your name's stamped to it, that's, I'm sure it's a very stressful thing. But I do think coaches and administrators from the communication side of things, Bruce, things have gotten a lot easier in the last 10, 15, 20 years because of the way you can get information out.
I'm just going to ask you that. How do they disseminate information? In the olden days, it was probably the phone tree, wasn't it?
Well, it really was. And then what would happen is, as a coach, you'd be like, hey, I need that last person to call me to make sure it got all the way through. Yeah. And who didn't get it. Where, you know, now you can do a group text, you can do email, you social media. A lot of programs have their Facebook, Twitter, things that they can use. So schools have the all call system and so forth. And I know sometimes those get annoying to get 5-6 calls, but it is better to have it out there than to not have it out there at all. So, you know, all of those things probably have gotten easier over the years, but it certainly, there's a lot that goes into deciding if you are going to play, not play, reschedule, practice, and so forth. So yeah, it's stressful and it's time consuming, I'm sure, on all involved.
Based on what you know, where does the decision get made as to whether a game is played? Is that in the high reaches of the administration, or is that the AD? In the SVC, how do you think it's handled for the most part?
You know, that's probably an interesting question to maybe ask someone that maybe a little bit more involved in some administration than myself. If I'm being honest, I would say it's probably a little bit different throughout school to school. Mm-hmm. I would say that obviously your superintendent, your principals, your ADs are involved. I'm sure in some cases, bus supervisors, things like that, all the different people that would go into deciding of a morning, a 2-hour delay, school canceled, whatever. I would say a lot of those same people are doing that. And then, you know, at that point, usually the coach will get involved at that point, but rarely, other than maybe asking a coach, hey, you feel okay playing tonight, not playing, whatever. I doubt that the coaches are much involved in the actual yes or no at the end of the day.
They're probably the receivers of the decision and not just the makers of the decision. Touch back on, we mentioned the players. I've seen situations where maybe the snow doesn't come until later in the day and they've, you know, had the night before to think about the big game. They've had that day while they should be in class. You know, I'm sure it's eating at them, you know, in the back of their mind. And then maybe later in the day is when it's actually called off. Is it harder to get back up for that same game later on? Is it less efficient? And then you got scheduling to, you know, I've seen how it works out. Sometimes it works out for the better, but I've also seen where you'll have to stick them in. And I know SVC has a certain policy that they try to follow to get them in and so forth. And we'll talk more about that, but that could really play havoc with a kid's mind, couldn't it? And the mental preparedness to play.
I think that's a fair point, and I think that's probably what I was referring to with all the stress levels of the coach. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're 16, 17 years old, yeah, you want to play. Okay, I'm not going to play. Now I'm going to play. And you do get out of routine a little bit and it can throw you off. But at the end of the day, when the ball goes up, most kids are, you know, basketball players and they adjust and they go. But, man, does that really stress you out as a coach? It's a situation as a coach where you worry about all those different things that you're talking about. And that's what I was referring to there in the opening about how you just get so stressed about, hey, how much time am I going to have away from the gym? You start worrying about conditioning. Maybe you've spent 3 days preparing for a player in a team, and all of a sudden your opponents change and you only have one practice to get that in. There's a lot of dynamics that go into it for sure.
Okay. Well, fans, I want to remind you that we are, as usual, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fund Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just back of the Hampton Inn there off of Bridge Street. And they offer all kinds of things, and it's something for everybody of all ages. So for your next party or group event, you can just give them a call, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. They have Cardo's Pizzas. They host parties and events. They have, of course, the soccer that's going on, have inflatables, have all kinds of things. And Shane, I was perusing the menu. As I know that surprises you, But I think next week, I think you should, or next year when we negotiate the contract with Triple Crown Family, when the lawyers sit down, I think that you should throw in perhaps some snacks for here in the studio when we do this. That would be wonderful. And I, everyone can look at me and know that I need additional nourishment.
Yes. So 30 weeks of Bruce's favorites from the menu is what you're wanting.
Yeah. And I usually, when I go into some place like that, I usually just look at the thing that costs the most money and think that's probably the best thing. So just from a sub perspective, which you know that I love, I'm looking at the super gondola. So just throwing that out there for consideration, get the lawyers involved so they could maybe even bring in food to our company end of winter dinner, which I want to talk to you about a little bit later. So, hey, fans, stay with us. Up next, we'll talk about basketball that was played and what it means to the girls' league down the stretch. You guessed it, Shane. It's the Chris Eldridge hair band episode.
Yes.
He's supplying the bump music suggestions this week, and we appreciate Mr. Eldridge
doing so.
And I'm sure he just said we should mention his name, and that would cause a lot of additional listenership. So we've got that going for us. Well, you mentioned or touched on it a little bit ago. The big Westfall Southeastern Girls Showdown was this past Thursday. It came down to an overtime affair. Why don't you bring us up to date on how that went?
Well, it was certainly as advertised, Bruce. You know, the league's two top teams there, pretty much the league on the line, Westfall needing a win to kind of take the stranglehold, and Southeastern needing the win to draw even, and Southeastern wins at 59-52 in overtime. And I guess the game had a little bit of everything. Westfall jumped out quick, led early. Southeastern with the big third quarter looked like they were going to run and hide, and then Westfall comes back, and you're tied there going into overtime. And yeah, I couldn't help but think of, because I've been trying to do a better job this year, Bruce. We did our game of the year type of things. Mm-hmm. This is the type of thing you just put a little notation by, especially when you think about what it could mean in the end of the league race in terms of a game of the year, because it did. It had that back and forth feel where you feel like you're going to win, you feel like you're going to lose. You go to overtime, and boy, did some of the league's brightest stars shine bright on that night. Ellis Gaines with 26 points, and I know Kelsey Robinson for Westfall with 18, and then the supporting cast was certainly there, you know, with Audrey Wheeler, 19.7 rebounds, and then Stone Rock with the double-double. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing going in, it doesn't surprise me that Robinson had a little bit of advantage there, maybe at the point guard position, especially with her experience in the backcourt. The Westfall Big Three, I've always felt like you got to try to contain them to right around that 40 to 45 mark. And you know, for Southeastern, they can probably do that. Others feel like it's got to be closer to 38 to 40 because some teams just can't score that much against Westfall. For Southeastern, I'm sure a 45 type of goal is a pretty good one. And I've just been impressed with how Southeastern's rebounded the basketball here lately in big games. You heard me reference it last week in the Piketon game, and then now here in the Westfall game. But you know, goodness, when you get Skeens and Wheeler both going off the way they did there the other night, they're just so tough to guard. You know, both teams can try things that the other teams would like to do, but can't, you know, around the league. If what you're trying to do against Westfall, what you're trying to do against Southeastern, a lot of teams around the league just can't do it. And the fact that these two could, I think, equals just what you got, which was a great game. So congrats to Southeastern. We're locked up here at 9-1. And we're basically four wins away on both sides from having a share of the title.
Well, after having that game, after we talked about that, I was just saying we just played Hair Band, and now we're talking about a Southeastern overtime victory. Mr. Eldridge will be very happy.
Yeah, but he's probably just enjoying this segment as much as he has in any of our 148 episodes.
Hitting the repeat button over and over and over again. But we did have an email that came in, and it wasn't from Eldridge. It said, which team, Southeastern or Westfall, is more dangerous come tournament time? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this was a good one that had come in pretty much that next morning. And gosh, that's hard to say. They're both so, so dangerous for different reasons, really. And to truly answer this, Bruce, you almost have to wait until after the draw, because what happens in tournament time is it truly comes down to matchup. I know that's kind of cliche, but again, like so many cliches, they're cliches because they're true, you know, and it's a situation. Here's why I say that. Westfall is so experienced and so versatile. They're going to most likely fall into something in the tournament that this group has already been through. So there's nothing that's going to catch them off guard. You know, if they get treated unfairly now in the seeding, they'll be able to adjust. They'll be able to go into any type of matchup, any type of game against a variety of teams and be just fine. Now for Southeastern, man, this sets them up not just to win a share of the title, but it really sets them up if they can get treated well enough in a room where they're going to be outnumbered in terms of our league. Mm-hmm. They really set themselves up for a nice seed in the postseason. And this is a younger group. They have two elite players. The role players getting better all the time. What's happened now, Bruce, is a lot of those role players are getting, 20, 30, 40 games into their career. Mm-hmm. And you know, even if they are sophomores or juniors or whatever, they're simply growing up and starting to produce on bigger stages. So, Southeastern's a hot basketball team. So it's hard for me to say that one's more dangerous than the other, because they both are led by great players and they're both so big and versatile that they're pretty much a tough matchup for any type of team that they would run into.
Here's another part of that. It's section two of that email. It said, other than these two teams, is there another team on the girls' side?
Well, that's certainly interesting, because I think that there's several, if I'm being honest. I mean, maybe I'm being a little biased to the league, but, you know, Paint Valley jumps out at me. They're in Division Four here. They've got a couple spots on their schedule where they could pick up a few more wins. And as long as they can avoid the really, really elite teams in Division Four, they're going to be a tough out at that level. They have a great player in Lexi Woods, who just updated our Dean of Sports Medicine stats. She continues to lead there as a sophomore, averaging just under 19 and 10 rebounds, and shoots at a high percentage at the free throw line, and steps out and hits about 21 threes, I think it is, at this point. So, I mean, just a really tough matchup. And then their role players are getting better. You know, Paint Valley, this program is on its way up. So then in the Division III, I think Piketon Huntington, for different reasons. Again, they're going to kind of be at the mercy of the Southern Hills League. Yeah. I guess they call it the Southern Hills Athletic Conference now or whatever. But the reason I say that is, there's some really good teams down there, but at the same time, you have just simply more people in the room.
Yeah.
So what happens is they basically can get together and just tell the SVC where you're going to go and where you're going to play. Well, you know, Piketon's a team that has great size, and they understand the tempo that Coach Carino wants. And then, you know, what makes Huntington so dangerous on a given night, because we're not playing a best of three, best of five. What makes Huntington so dangerous, Bruce, is the three-point shot. You're talking about a team that's starting to routinely hit 7, 8, 9, 10 threes. They beat a really good Amanda team the other night where they hit 10 threes. You know, where Amanda was probably a little bit more talented than them. But, I mean, goodness, when you hit 10 threes in a basketball game, you got a good chance to win. So, yeah. I think it's those matchups that I'm talking about. Really, there's 5-6 different teams there in the SVC that I think would at least present, if I understand the word dangerous correctly, are at least going to present a difficult out for someone that runs into them in the bracket.
All right. Fans, don't go anywhere. Up next, we take a fan email asking about all this rescheduling and why it matters, or why it's so difficult to decide when to play. Smooth opinion!
I know you really want.
Episode 148 of SVC Sports Talk rolls on, and Chris Eldridge's section is now over with.
Well, here's the thing, Bruce. Not only is Chris himself just thoroughly enjoying the middle segments here of the show, but anyone who knows Chris can't help but listen to those two music selections here and not just laugh just because of Chris.
Yeah. If you know Chris, you're laughing with us.
Believe me. And if you don't, then I mean, you're just you're cheating yourself. You need to go meet him.
An added bonus here. We'll maybe have to arrange that because he was a guest one time on our show. I can't remember exactly.
Maybe we could set Chris up at a upcoming Southeastern game for a little meet and greet with the SVC fans.
Yeah, I could see us having a big crowd. There'd be like two or three people show up, I'm sure. His parents, perhaps, and maybe his wife. I don't know. Anyway, we did have another email, and this one I thought this was kind of cool. I was as I read this, you had forwarded it to me earlier and said we're going to include this one. This one actually came from an SVC mom, I believe. Yeah, it says that. It says, I had a question for SVC Sports Talk. As a mom in the SVC, obviously, I understand and appreciate all these games and practices being canceled to keep players safe and off the roads. What is confusing is all the debate and when the games should be rescheduled. Teams are going to play the same amount of games in the league and overall. Does the order or when they are played really matter? I'm sure there is more than a mom like me realizes, and since I love listening to the show, that's probably the best part of the email there, Shane, I thought I would ask. Thanks for your time and consideration for my question. So, Mr. Combs, what do you have for our SVC mom?
This is a great question, and I can't help but laugh at this a little bit because the answer is yes and no in a lot of ways. I mean, if just the simplicity of the question, you know, no, it shouldn't really matter. But if I'm going to approach it as a coach, which I'm obviously going to, yes, it completely matters. And I think sometimes what happens, like with the administration, they like to not overbook. You know, what happens the other day, we had an SVC all-day event. You know, well, if we're going to split those, what's the gym availability? Well, you run into certain things where maybe you want to play a girls game this Tuesday night, but you already took Friday night's reschedule of the boys and put it Tuesday night. So there's some gym availability issue. A lot of times because of gate and money, you try to avoid some of the junior high nights. So a lot of times you'll try to your best to avoid that Monday, Wednesday night. And then as a coach, it matters a bunch. I talked about it in the beginning of the show here tonight, Bruce. You go 3 days in the gym without the gym. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, no gym. All of a sudden, you play Monday or Tuesday night, and you know, game plan as a coach, all of a sudden, you almost start to panic a little bit in terms of how are we going to react to that and so forth. The Tuesday night games, conditioning, rhythm, all of those things will be interesting to watch, I think, as people go out and watch some of these games that are going to get played Monday, Tuesday, because it looks like some of the weather is going to turn for the better. That'll be something interesting to watch. Here's another really, really big thing that maybe nobody wants to talk about, but if anyone says that I'm making this up, they're just lying. The tournament draw becomes a really, really interesting thing here, Bruce, as you reschedule late in the year. People want to try to do what's best for their resume, and this happens everywhere. And people are just, again, they're just lying if they say it doesn't. I know, obviously, I'm not going to start throwing out names here, but I know someone outside of our conference that's going to really impact some of our SVC teams in one of the upcoming tournament draws. They were playing a really elite team. Well, they canceled. I looked for a reschedule because I was going to try to scout a little bit, and sure enough, it was a game that they're probably going to lose. Guess when it is? It was after the tournament draw. You know, and I'm not saying SVC teams haven't been guilty of that too, but I think what happens is you have to play. I've always said you have to play the game. If you it's one thing to say you can be mad at the rule, but the rules are the rules, and I guess you kind of have to play the game with the rules that are out there, and that's, you know, what you have to do to set yourself up for success and to do what's best for your kids. I think the OHSA has such an easy fix here, in my opinion. You know, Bruce, with today's technology, I don't see why we can't play all 22 and then put the bracket out. You already know where you're going. I've said this now for about 4 or 5 years. You know, you already know that, hey, our sectional is at Waverly. Mm-hmm. It's on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Then the finals are Friday, Saturday. Or the girls, hey, we're down at Valley, or hey, we're over at Athens, or wherever it might be. You already know what sectional you're in. You know pretty much the place you're going, the nights that you could go. And I just don't understand why we need to know so much in advance in terms of already making that happen. I would even be in support of some sort of computer system at the end of 22 games that it just spits out the computer points, if you will, like they do in football in terms of out of those people. So the draw process is become, well, I want to be careful here. I don't want to say a joke, but it's not very good. You know what I mean? And quite frankly, it's gotten worse. So I just think, again, that would solve a lot of this. I think so many people have tried to do what's best for their teams. Again, you're always looking for a competitive advantage. So to answer the mom's question, I guess when I look at just how simple the question is that she's asking, mm-hmm. it probably shouldn't. But at the end of the day, we all are kind of looking to be successful as possible. And yeah, some of the competitive balance and competitive edges certainly go into play. And I think if we're being honest, which I always try to be on SVC Sports Talk, the tournament draw is front and center in that.
And we would really appreciate the mom taking the time to ask that question, because there are no, you know, that's a good question right there.
It is.
I mean, it's just one of those things that some of us sit around and kind of scratch our heads and say, why does it matter? And you just laid it out there, why it does.
And I don't think people realize how much conversation. It might be an AD, okay, let me ask my coach, and the coach says one thing. No, my coach said this. And then, hey, once coaches get on, if the coaches know each other well, they'll call each other and talk. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in it all. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's it all has its purpose. That's
some
for sure.
Posturing, for sure, I guess, just as you intimated there, that you got to kind of – there's some things to think about. It's not just a cut and dried, do we play it, do we not, that kind of thing. Well, let's head to the fast break if you can, Shane.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, for people that didn't listen to the show last week, we not only had a great conversation with Cole Cottrell and some Uniota discussion, we also, in our fast break, Bruce, I think the fans would really enjoy going back. We had an email come in last week that was asking us, in the coaching profession, oftentimes the talk is so negative, mm-hmm. that how about Shane throw out some positive feedback on each of our SVC coaches. And what they did is they put together a really clever email where they had written out the four things for us, and they went through 8 coaches last week. Well, this week they followed it up with the 8 other coaches so that we get all 16 their turn to go. And, you know, as always, before we get into this, Bruce, let's give a shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club. Each week they are the fine sponsor here at the Fast Break segment. That's located U.S. Route 22, west in Williamsport, just minutes from Route 104. As I say each week, give Dave or Kevin a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Incredible deal on their 5-round membership, still available to the end of January. You want to call and check that out. So again, part 2, it's a great email we've been getting. It's coming in this week. So Bruce, if you're okay with that, let's go here with the part 2 of the Fast Break segment.
This week's first pair will be a pair of SVC champion players from the 90s, and now perhaps a pair of SVC coaches here in a few weeks. I, of course, am talking about Jeff Miller and Mike Adams.
Yeah, neat pairing here. As they said, champs back in the early 90s. And two teams that probably, if you go back over the last 30 years and start to name the top 5 teams in our league on the boys' side, Bruce, you'd certainly would mention the 90 Southeastern team, the 91 Uniota team, both state Final Four appearance. Southeastern wins the gold ball and then goes to the Final Four, runs into an incredible St. Henry team. The 91 Uniota team wins the SVC and then goes to the state championship game before falling. So, yeah, I mean, now obviously as coaches, Coach Miller with that 26-1 2-year run there, or 27-1, I believe it was, in 2 years and won the 2 titles. Southeastern now just 4 wins away. So, yeah, a neat pairing. I guess from a coaching perspective, You know, Jeff's a guy, if I look at his number one strength, Bruce, I always seem to think of his ability to X and O on the offensive end. Just really does a super job teaching offensive schemes. He's so good at finding your weakness. I don't care if you're playing zone or man, and attacking and then attacking with what he has in terms of his strengths, being able to put you, it seems like he'll always find that weak spot that maybe you're trying to hide in your defense and be able to attack that. So he's just really good with his X's and O's. As far as Coach Adams, I think just develop the program through a process and consistency is important. I mentioned, you know, Southeastern, it's been a long, long time since they've been in a situation like this. And I think Coach Adams deserves a lot of credit for the stability that he's brought this team. Every single time I watch his teams play over the last couple of years, they get tougher and tougher. And as they get older, they start to understand a little bit better. You know, I understand it's an awesome opportunity as a coach to get an opportunity to coach in Ellis Skeens. But at the same time, Bruce, what happens is the expectation is to win and win big. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure there. I know he's been 10-4 and 18-6, and now he is here at 9-1 and 14-2. I think they've won 14 straight games now. So it's, doing a great job. But I think just the stability and the consistency that he's brought up this program has been outstanding.
Next, we will go with a couple new coaches in the girls' league with Richard Scott and John Dennett.
Yeah, two guys that I have not had much of a coaching history against. I've certainly watched and met them in the past, and they're just really, really good basketball people. Coach Scott there in the Adena program. You know, since the Grigsby group, the well's been a little dry, as we like to say in basketball. They've been young. Some of the athletic pieces that were to be older by now have kind of decided to concentrate on volleyball a little bit more. They're still pretty young in the guard spots, but they are extremely athletic, and it's interesting to see them grow. You know, Coach Scott, I think, is the right guy for this job because the number one thing that jumps out with me, Bruce, when I watch him is his patience. And I think that's a really valuable thing in terms of it is a skill as a coach, the patience and the understanding of your long-term goal and where you want to get. And I think he brings a great experience. He was a super, super player back in his day, and he's been around basketball a long time. So I just think he's the right type of coach for the Adena program right now. As far as Coach Denon, yeah, I mean, talk about experience and knowledge. You're talking about someone who certainly brings a proven recipe to Zane Trace. And I think it's his ability to teach the game fundamentally. I just watch the way he conducts himself and the way he talks to the kids and different things, and you can tell that he's really teaching the right thing. So I think his understanding of the baseline knowledge, I guess, is the way to say it in terms of that recipe for success. St. Trace has a lot of resources. For whatever reason here the last couple of years, it's maybe certain kids haven't stayed with the program or come back to the program or whatever. But I think he's the type of guy that, because of his track record, can really stabilize the program and bring those fundamentals to the forefront, and they're going to be just fine.
For the third pair this week, let's stay with the girls' game and go with Jennifer Blue and Regina Newman.
Yeah, and again, another pair that do kind of fit together on a couple different ways, Bruce. Both players back in the 90s, Coach Blue there at Westfall, and then Coach Newland at Southeastern. And I tell you, man, when they played, the league was so elite. I mean, you've heard me talk about in past SVC Sports Talk episodes here, the league was incredible. So they certainly grew up around a high level of basketball, and I'm sure it's what they want to try to bring to their programs. And let's face it, Coach Blue has done just that. Westfall, it's been a little over 10 years now since they've won, and now here she is on the brink of back-to-back titles. And, you know, she kind of started from the ground up with this group, started at the junior high level and started to build that trust a little bit. I know there were some rocky situations at the beginning, but they hung in there together, and now that consistency. You know, volleyball's a thing there, Bruce, where it's such a big deal with Coach Merriman's days and the continued success now with Coach Rogers, not to mention the softball. They won a state title. So there's a lot going on in your girls' programs there at Westfall, and she's been able to bring that stability and consistency. I think just the trust and identity that she's been able to bring this group has been really, really important. They've continued to improve on the defensive end year by year, and they're just really on a successful run. As far as the Paint Valley program with Newland, This has really started over the last 4 or 5 years. And again, Coach Newland and Coach Norman. Now, when I say Coach Norman, a lot of SVC people will remember Tristan Rumfield. Tristan Norman now, she played there at Payne Valley and went on to Shawnee State and played some. But Coach Newland, Coach Norman had been a part of the program there when Coach Holbert was doing a great job. They were at the JV level, junior high level. Now they're moving up together. And, you know, they've taken a lot of that toughness that the program had really established, and then they've added some good numbers, and the development is good. So I think she just really gives a just kind of an identity, or someone that people really know. Those are people that people really know and trust there at the Paint Valley community. So I think it's really been able to carry on things. Again, they're going to be tough in the second half here in Division Four. Really, really good team. They have a really elite player, and that program's trending up. And I guess the last thing on that pair there, Bruce, the only two female coaches in the league. I think there's some communication and personality that's really important there in the way they relate to the girls.
Let's end with two guys extremely familiar with SVC basketball, Todd Kello and Bud Brabson.
Yeah, wow, what a great pairing. Certainly some longtime SVC guys who love their school, love their program, the league, the game of basketball. They just simply love working with kids. I can't imagine, Bruce, the number of lives impacted at Huntington and Piketon over the last, gosh, who knows how many years, by these two great coaches. Todd's such a student of the game. He always has such great game plans. He teaches schemes really well. If he's undermanned, you know, he's always going to have his kids competing hard. And here's the thing, because he hasn't been a coach, and for various reasons and different things that I don't have time to really get into right now, he hasn't always had a chance to coach varsity with some of the great, great teams. But because of his junior high and his JV and all those things, he's always had his handprints all over those teams. And people that are familiar with the SVC know what I'm talking about here. And he just does a super job of player development and getting kids to just increase their basketball IQ under him. As far as Brabson, the same is so true. He's coached a variety of levels and roles, and he teaches the fundamentals so well. The one thing that jumps out at me about his teams, they move so well without the ball. And you know, you see one or two kids do it, and you're like, okay, man. But you see every kid do it year after year, and all of a sudden, you know, that's not by accident. You know, you can tell that they're really taught about floor spacing, about sharing the ball, and they certainly just they're tough to guard away from the ball. So, yeah, I just thoroughly enjoyed the questions over the last 2 weeks, Bruce, and it's made for some fun fast break.
Great input there, and we got that one through email, as quite a few of these have come in through email. But we want to also let you know that we're going to have Facebook, Twitter, email, and then, of course, we've got our phone number that we can give you, and that's 740-569-3254.
Real quick there, Bruce. I didn't want to interrupt when you're getting out the information there, but I wanted to just comment on the fast break over the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was really fun to do that because – I think there is a difficulty of expectation with coaching and so forth. I mean, we see it in all levels of sports. I mean, take the NBA, for example. Here's a guy that comes in, goes to the NBA Finals last year. Yeah. He does so. He basically doesn't have two of his best players. He comes back this year, and he's 30-11. He's number one in the Eastern Conference, and he gets fired.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, they're trying to figure out who's going to coach the Eastern Conference in the All-Star game because the guy who earned it just lost his job.
Yeah.
So,
David,
I mean,
Black,
and I understand that's a different level, but the same idea is, you know, the expectations sometimes are so brutal, and I think coaches get that. But at the same time, I think it's really cool when we can step back and just highlight some of the strengths of coaches, because every coach brings some really good characteristics to the table. And at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, some people have more talent and some people, you know, don't. And, you know, you work real hard at it. But, man, it's the relationships and some of the different things and the impact. I wanted to just kind of highlight the idea. I would love to take it for my own, but it wasn't.
Nope.
It was a great email, and I really, really enjoyed doing the 16 coaches there around the SVC.
And whoever this was actually just wrote the stuff. I mean, they're listening to us long enough that they know how the fast break flows.
Sure.
And everything. And That was, whoever that is, we thank you very much, because that gave our crack research department and the question department a couple weeks off there, and gave us something to look forward to. I know Shane's been thinking about that in the last week here, about how he was, who was to come, and how he was going to answer that. So, and again, you guys can contact us on Facebook, either Shane's personal profile or the SVCSportsZone.com's profile, Twitter at SVCSportsZone.com, email at admin1@SVCSportsZone.com, and then the phone number 740-569-3254. Speaking of emails, we had another one, and it says, looking at the boys' basketball state polls in Division II, Uniondo is at number 3 and Vinton County is at number 6. I assume Shane has watched both teams a number of times. If you don't know, Shane's brother Matt Combs is the head coach at Vinton County. I was wondering how you feel these two teams will match up if they get to meet up in the district finals, and specifically, how much would the loss of Cole Cottrell hurt the Shermans in this contest, considering the Vikings personnel? So that's a good question. I've got some interest in this one as well.
It is a great question, and I don't mean to go all Jeremy Ward on people here, but I know that I also know Matt Combs and Matt Hoops well enough to know that, I mean, to look ahead to the district tournament at all, when you consider all the great teams that we talked about last week in Division II, it's going to be a very difficult sectional run. You know, Uniondo here, we're going to get a chance to see them with Westfall and Edina and the other SVC teams now. As he mentioned, you know, the Cottrell situation that we broke down last week, the Miami Trace, Courthouse, Chillicothe, all of those teams, not only in the regular season, but then show right back up in the sectional. And then Vinton County's got to go through Athens and Meigs and Fairfield Union, Logan Elmore. And so, yeah, obviously the sectional's tough, but at the same time, it is a fun basketball question. I don't mind taking a look at it. It's a situation where it's very exciting for those two programs to be where they're at. And, you know, I guess, Bruce, I've watched Vinton County play every game, except I need to catch up there on Huddle and watch the Meigs game. Mm-hmm. Vinton County just had a great road win against Meigs. I have watched Vinton County play. I've watched Uniondo play, gosh, 5-6 times. I even watched these two teams play each other in a scrimmage earlier in the year. So it is a fun question. I think that Uniondo would still be an extremely big favorite, just from the standpoint of, if you look at some of the common opponents, the advantage certainly has gone to Uniondo in terms of how those games have gone. But I will say Vinton County does have some of the characteristics I described last week. If you think about it, depth inside, depth at the guard play. They have some experience. They have the ability to handle the basketball. They have the ability to score a little bit if the game would get up tempo just a little bit. Obviously, the Cottrell hit is a major hit, no matter who we're talking about. Even mm-hmm. if we're not talking about Vinton County, I mean, goodness, you don't lose a Cole Cottrell and wake up the next day and think, hey, we're as good as we were yesterday. That's silly. But again, you're still talking about a really, really good team. And I think the thing that maybe he's getting hidden a little bit because of all the attention this has brought on is the addition of Peyton Hill. Peyton Hill of Uniondo now transfers in from Zane Trace. He's a 6'5 kid, comes over from Zane Trace. Very, very talented. Had to sit out the first 11 games. So very similar to the way Wheeler kid came in last year. Uniondo gets him another kind of fun toy to throw into the mix here. And he's extremely talented. He really is. So, I mean, the depth on their front line is ridiculous. I mean, and I think, Bruce, you'll remember me all the way back in the preview show. It might even have been before the preview show, talking about how Uniondo was going to have all league talented post kids that may not even get to play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, with everybody in Hoops' system is going to play. But this is an example of what I was talking about. I mean, this kid is extremely talented. He would be a centerpiece for about 3 or 4 other offenses in our league. And here he is, maybe as option number 3 in the post. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's a kid that, even though he's a different type of player than Cottrell, mm-hmm. he at least will help shoulder some of the scoring and rebounding and some of that rotation. So, yeah, I mean, Uniondo is just a team that I guess passes the eye test more, Bruce. And I don't know what that means. I just, you know, in terms of head-to-head, but when you watch a Vinton County warm up, Vinton County is really, really talented. But, you know, they're not the biggest team. They're not the fastest team, but you know, they start playing and it kind of works. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of play well together and they're very skilled and they're very, you know, they have a little bit more toughness than they had a year ago. They're definitely older, but I mean, goodness, you watch this Uniota team warm up and, you know, 4, 5, 6 kids before the officials come out, just ripping the rim off and just, you know, not that really matters in terms of basketball skill, but I guess the point I'm making is they're so much bigger, faster, stronger. And what do you always hear me talk about, Bruce, when I talk about a big game here on SVC Sports Talk? Rebounding, mm-hmm. turnovers, 50-50 balls, all of those things, a lot of times being the bigger, faster, stronger team does impact. And I guess that would be the biggest challenge to any of these teams that I'm talking about is Uniota still has such an advantage in those areas. So, yeah, I mean, I think Uniota would be the favorite. But, yeah, in fairness to Vinton County and what they've accomplished this year, Vinton County certainly would go in that list of 4, 5, 6 teams that at least have some of those characteristics that that you're going to have to go toe-to-toe with Uniota and have a chance.
Well, that's good stuff. And I appreciate you not going all Jeremy Ward on us.
Yeah, Jeremy would totally not like that question to be talking about here with still, what, 5, 6 league games to go.
As an aside, Shane, I was just thinking, you know, when Eric left the show, we abused him after the fact, Eric Snyder. And we have not really gone too much after Mr. Ward. So I was just thinking I'm going to have to scour the archives and find him saying certain phrases that were patently, you know, Jeremy and go with that. If maybe we can just play those, intersperse those like they do on the Mike and Mike show and so forth. Yeah, we'll work on that over the next week or so. Hey, we're moving into the final segment throughout our basketball season. We call that the post-game comments, and it's brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. You can check out their website at crownhillgolfclub.com, and anytime you visit them, please, please tell dear old Kevin and Dave that svcsportzone.com sent you. So here we go into the post-game segment. I need a little sounder for that one, too. So we've got, you know, the weather's cooperating with us, I think. I looked out the long-range forecast for the week, the 10-day forecast, and I think there's only a little bit of a chance towards the end of the week that we might see some frozen precipitation. But otherwise, it's free and clear. So what do the fans of the SVC need to watch for in the upcoming week?
Well, I think you want to start as a fan. I think you want to start educating yourself on some of the sectional draws. I think you want to start to look at where's your favorite team heading and start to look at some of those teams, see what some potential records are, potential matchups could be, and then maybe start to watch the extended scores, you know, in the area, as I was talking about earlier. I think you'll notice it again with some of the rescheduling that I talked about. The girls, unless they have some different makeups, you know, that some will have some games Monday, Tuesday, but the league is off in terms of an official league night till Thursday. I know Westfall's got a really tough non-league trip to Amanda to make. I know that Amanda team's a good basketball team. The Huntington-Piketon game Thursday night, certainly an intriguing one. You're talking about two teams that are completely opposite. And that'll go a long way in deciding that third place spot in the league. And then over on the boys, we're still waiting to see Uniota move forward, as we said. But really, with the rescheduling, I think it's good to see some of these games in a weird order, as we talked about earlier. Look at some of the different nights and how that impacts. And then, you know, we're just joking about Jeremy there a little bit. I couldn't help but over the weekend when I was sitting around bored to death because I didn't have a game to go to, mm-hmm. I did start to look at some all league and I think, you know, start to look at some of the different kids and so forth. I had about 18 girls on my radar there for 15 spots. The first team is really going to be crowded. People who read my stuff all the way back at the SVC preview, Bruce, we talked about how there's going to probably be 7 or 8 first team talents. And obviously there's only 5 spots for them. So someone's not going to be very happy. So, you know, that's kind of where I am there with the boys. I kind of have 14 locks, I guess, in terms of boys all league. And, you know, you could argue on the order, but 14 kids that are definitely in there. And then you got another 4, 5, 6 kids at that right on that next level. And obviously there's only one spot. So that's really intriguing. So the player of the year conversation, some say is cut and dry. Other places, not so much. With the Cole Cottrell situation now, it kind of opens it up. A lot of people have been real, real impressed with the year Jonathan Thomas has had at Edina, and certainly who can argue that? Obviously, Skeens and her performance the other night kind of takes a stranglehold on repeating in that award. There's a lot to to talk about, and then there's a lot to watch, and I'll look forward to coming back a week from now and responding to, you know, whatever comes in.
I was going to say, are there any particular types of comments and questions you're seeking for as we roll through, or more along those lines that you just laid out there? Is that kind of what you're thinking about?
Yeah, you know, Bruce, there's one thing I did think about today. In the past, for people who have listened to the show year after year, One of the things that's been really cool is we've talked about some kids that will be coming back in terms of what they've added to their game and improved in their game in the offseason, moving in the offseason. I always love looking at kids in that way and looking at the improvements. And I think that goes into a little bit of the all-league discussion. I would love to hear people and talk about some of the kids in terms of how they've improved throughout the year. You know, when you get to see a kid, if you're following a team, you know, a lot of times you'll see a kid night in, night out. You really start to get an understanding for their game, that type of thing. I think that would be fun. And then also maybe get some fan feedback in terms of who they think can be dangerous and into the tournament. That was a question earlier that had come in. As you start to look at these sectional draws, what are some of the things that jump out at you in terms of what you like for the SVC and don't like? But it's certainly going to get jam-packed now. You know, I know there's some teams that have, gosh, I don't know, let's see, there's some boys teams that still have to play as many as 8 or 9 games, I think, and just in the regular season. So that's going to make for a busy schedule here, as we're down to about a month to play them.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I just realized tonight is our 10th winners episode, I believe, two of which were like previews, and we released them in the same week. But we're already 8 weeks into this thing, and it just blows my mind that we've already done 8 shows. And I think, we got about 4 weeks left of programs. Is that about right?
Yeah, and I think it's cool, too, that we have our 150th show coming up.
Yeah.
If fans have any ideas in terms of anything special, anything different that they want us to do, you know, here as we get toward the end of basketball season, let us know. Because those, like, you know, here, you know, I know a couple weeks ago when we had the idea for looking back at 2015, that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, let us know. I mean, it seems like the fans always come up with things that I don't even think about, and they always end up being really fun to do.
I think you should probably have a celebratory Diet Mountain Dew for the 150th. Maybe we should do that, you know, live on the tape here.
Yes.
If you guys could see the Muggo Diet Dew that he comes in to record this with, and every time I turn, there he goes. He's glugging right now. I'm surprised you can't hear it. He needs a few. There, you just heard the ice cubes hit the bottom of the barrel and the quenching of the thirst there. So much I could say about that, but I won't. Well, Shane, appreciate you being here for episode 148. Appreciate you, the listeners, being here for episode 148. So we'll put it in the barn, head it home, and say until next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for everyone here behind the scenes helping me at DBK, and for Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com. We are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.